everybody. It's Armando Mel with you with the Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Lucky to be here. Said that to somebody the other day. We're passing by and we tuned in and we heard you on the air and how lucky you are to be on the air. Lucky were the words. I thought to myself, luck? What is luck? Let's look at luck. We examine a lot of things around here. We examine many things, personalities, depression, feelings. But luck, what an interesting concept. Is there such a thing? Can we bet on it? Do we have it? How many kinds of luck are there? You know, there's good luck, bad luck, no luck. How about that one? You know, I just have no luck. Potluck, how we make a dinner. Luck, an important part of our lives. Many years ago, a man came to me. He was depressed. He was a TV producer. He was very well known. Everything he did turned to gold. He made game shows. He practically invented them. And so he would, every time he'd come up with an idea for a game show, no matter what it is, boom, it was a winner. I've tried to get him to see the positives in his life. He was a very depressed man. And he told me that he had no positives, nothing in his life was good, he felt like killing himself. So I asked him, how about these TV shows that you produce? How about these game shows? It's just amazing how one after another are just fantastic. You know what he said to me? I said, so how did you make those happen? He said, good luck. He said, just lucky, Armand. He said, you know, if I had picked another thing or if somebody else had come up with it, it would have just, it was just a lucky idea. And he said, you know, a lot of people come up with game shows and mine just happened to hit. It's luck. He said, it's all luck of the draw. So I said to him, you mean you have nothing going for you? Nothing works for you in your life except one thing. You're lucky. I said, have you always been lucky? He said, yeah, I've always been lucky. He said, I always won things. I always got things, you know. I've always achieved things. He said, not achieved. He said, but always good fortune where there was a group of people who had a chance. He said, I would always get it. Luck. So then I thought to myself, what would I rather be? Somebody who is striving through some mediocre kind of accomplishment level, or would I rather be a lucky person? You know, you got luck on your side. What a thing. Maybe there is a force called luck. Maybe there is. How would you like to have luck? You know, oh, she's a lucky person. You know, he's a lucky guy. Lucky person. Every time somebody sees you with somebody else who they think is attractive, they say, ah, lucky person. Every time you have a mate, lucky you. Lucky, as if you really have. Well, maybe we do. Maybe we have this force called luck. We're going to talk about it today. Maybe talk about developing luck, if there is such a thing. Imagine you wanted something. Imagine that there was a lottery. Get this. And the stakes were life or death. Here's the way it works. If you win, you live. If you lose, you die. How's that for decent stakes? All right. Now, remember the opera Turandot we were playing the other day? In the opera Turandot, these men go to answer this riddle. And if almost everybody who answers the riddle, out of 1,000 people who tried to answer the riddle, they all didn't answer it right and they died. So you've got to be lucky enough to guess the right answer and you won't die. Then you'll get the queen. Well, in this particular lottery that I'm imagining, imagine if you enter this lottery, if you win, you live, and if you lose, you die, okay? Now, and only one person is going to be allowed to win. Only one being out of, get ready, now here's how many people you're going to compete with, 200 million. Do you think if there was something going on where it was one out of 200 million, do you think that you are going to win? Do you think you're going to be the lucky one? No. How could you? Me, I would never. Get out of here. I'd go a fourth. You know what I mean? I mean, how lucky can you be? One out of 200 million. And you want to know something, my friends? Here it is. Would you say that the person who survives is the strongest out of the 200 million? It's got to be more than strength. You got to be lucky. Let's say it was a race, and you're in a race. You can not only have to be fast, you have to get past everybody, and you have to be able to get there. And then you had to get in this house. You had to find the key to the house. The person who was inside the house had to kind of let you in at just the right moment. That's how lucky you'd have to be. One out of 200 million, all of you out there are saying, no, it would never happen to you. But you know something? Every one of you won this race. Because out of 200 million sperm, in every ejaculate, only one survives to create a baby. And you were that baby. So you are lucky. Somewhere a long time ago, 199,999,999 other comrades got killed. You survived. Why don't we all have survivor's guilt for being born? Many of us do. So, it seems somewhere along the line, one out of 200 million. That's pretty good odds to start with. That's our first bit of luck. How many people do you think there are in the United States that are 1 out of 200 million? Just think about it. There are 6.3 billion people on the planet, right? 6.3 billion who survived that initial thing. In New York alone, there are 9 million people. 9 million. 128 million people are born in the world every year. 128 million are born. Multiply that by 200 million and you have any ideas how, you know, how many opportunities there were. 55 million die every year. That means 78 million people are increasing the population every year. There's an increase of 78 million people every year. That's why you should open a motel. That's got to be a lucky business, right? There's so many more people around. Okay, let's go back to this. Armand DeMille here with you with the Positive Mind. We're talking about luck. You, a winner, one out of 200 million. Now, you're going to say to me, no, 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 I'm a woman. I was never a sperm. No, no, no. You see, even women were sperm and men were eggs because before that whole distinction happened, you had to be both. You were once an egg, and you were once the other guy. What about the luck of the draw? You know, the kind of thing that happens, there are only five. Well, that's the luck of the draw. One out of 200 million is the luck of the draw. Luck can be confused. Sometimes luck is confused with privilege. You know, privilege is you got the right color, you got the right height, you got the right weight, you got the right chiseled cheekbones, and you got the right wealth, you come from the right family, you come from the right culture, right? And suddenly you wind up getting a better scholarship than somebody who has lesser qualities. And people say, oh, how lucky you were to get into Princeton. Well, you know, privilege will go a long way. You got the right height, you got the right bosom, it gets you a long, long distance, and it looks like luck, but very often it's just privilege. Are you lucky or are you unlucky? There's a real interesting question. That's the kind of thing to determine. Have you ever been lucky in your life? Sometimes I think luck is an attitude. Sometimes I think you say to yourself when you wake up every day, you have some kind of gratitude in your attitude. And you say, I'm lucky to be alive. Lucky, whatever that means. Is it lucky that you're alive, or did you take care of yourself to be alive? Is it all right that you didn't get SARS, you know, when you were passing through that place where everybody else got it? Is it all that way? So you could see luck as, you know, a positive thing, and you could see misfortune. All misfortune is bad luck. And you could sometimes see bad luck as something you've deserved. Funny thing about people who believe they have bad luck. Somewhere usually they have an inordinate sense of guilt. It's almost as if they're waiting to be punished, which is why they perceive negative things as punishment, as bad luck. You know, the gambling casinos, the casinos survive on two things. The belief in luck and the belief in hunch. You can play certain games in a casino. Blackjack, for example, is one. You play that game, the odds of the house winning are only about 1% if you play perfectly. So if you go in there playing perfectly, you can almost always come out ahead. You could come out losing a tiny, tiny bit and winning a lot if you play the game right. But there are very few people who play the game right, because you have to be very disciplined. And the one thing you could never do is follow a hunch. What the casino does is they say when the minute you play your hunch, that's where they make their money. When you are playing some game like spinning a wheel and trying to win a lot of money, and when you're just playing a hunch and you're just playing luck, you're going to lose. In the long run, it is the slot machine players who lose the most money because they're going purely on a no-skill, all-luck system. And that's what a casino is. Casino is a place of built on the belief of luck and hunch. You see, this is how we make our money. Skill comes in here, we would never make money. We would never make money if the person who came in was a skilled, disciplined player. What about you? Lucky? Is it lucky in love? Do you find somebody you care about and love? And you fall in love with them, and you just locate them, and you think you're just, you know, hearing this disembodied voice or something, or you turn around and you see somebody, and there they are, and they're all yours, and you say, wow, was I lucky. Do you think your romance is luck? I was at a wedding recently, a woman at a wedding, right? Sitting with a group of other women at a wedding, and all of a sudden, suddenly she gets invited to dance. Nobody else gets invited to dance. She gets invited to dance. Sure, she's charming and nice and good-looking and all that other stuff. She finds somebody who not only wants to dance, but somebody who wants to be with her and spend a lot of significant time with her after the wedding was over. The other women who were at the wedding who were all kind of standing around twiddling their thumbs. What was the difference here? You think she was just sexier than everybody? You think she was more good-looking than everybody? You think she was smarter than everybody? What was the difference? You think it was luck? You think it was some kind of predestiny? Do you think somehow, you know, they've got this other half waiting for you, just waiting to meet you, and you pick each other out across the hallway? I want to hear about your experience with luck. What do you think about yourself? You think you're a bad luck guy? There are a lot of men I know who use the word bad luck as a way to account for their lack of discipline. Now, I don't mean that discipline is a good thing and you should have discipline. There are just some people who are at loose ends all the time, and that's just the way they're made. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that you should be disciplined, because the people who are disciplined get further in life, true. But then there are the artistic people who are all over the place, and they bring the joy into life. But the ones who never keep track of their receipts are the ones who get the tax investigation and wind up getting really shafted with penalties because they didn't keep their receipts. What are they? Those are unlucky guys? No, it's the way the draw works. It's the way the thing works. It's like if you consider yourself unlucky, you're probably somebody who is undisciplined. Now, on the other hand, you could be very disciplined and never be lucky. You could achieve a great deal of success with your discipline and never even count on luck. And luck never happens, because everything you build on your own, and you're in charge of everything. You're so much in charge, you can get so structured that you never meet anybody because you're too busy keeping the structures going. This is Armand DeMille with you, WBAI. Our telephone number is 212-209-2900. I'm curious. I'm curious if there are any lucky folk out there. You know, there is quite a few people have done a bunch of research on the idea of luck. One man in particular, he was very interesting. He did 10 years ago, he set out to examine luck. And this is what he did. He put an ad in the papers, and he said, people who feel consistently lucky or unlucky, contact me. The fascinating study. Telephone number here, 209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls in a little bit. Hundreds of extraordinary men and women volunteered for the research, and he interviewed them, got them down, and then he did this test. The test was, he gave everybody a a newspaper to read. And he said, here's what I want you to do. Let me read it to you. He said, take the simple experiment. I gave both lucky and unlucky people a newspaper and asked them to look through it and tell me how many photographs were inside the newspaper. Now, while he had secretly placed a message halfway through the newspaper saying, tell the experiment that you have seen this and you win $250. The message took up half of the page in what was written in type that was more than 2 inches high. Now, everybody's staring directly at this message. You're going to get $250 if you tell the person. But you see, they were told to look at photographs. Unlucky people are generally more tense than lucky people, so they get nervous. They miss opportunities because they're too focused on looking for something else. In this case, they were looking for the photographs, and they missed the type that said, tell the instructor and you're going to get $250, which they did get. They go to parties, intent on finding their perfect partner, and they miss opportunities to make good friends. You understand? So people who are too focused in one direction very often are not lucky because they miss the opportunity that passes by. So comes the story of serendipity. Do you know the story of serendipity about the Prince of Serendip? Yep, in Persia. The Prince of Serendip had three sons, and he wanted to send his three sons out, and he wanted them to learn a lesson. He wanted to teach them. So he told his sons to go out and find different things. He told one son, go out and find gold. He told another son, go out and find an army. And he told a third one, go out and find a wife. Right? And the first one goes out searching for gold. Along the way, as he's searching for gold, he finds herbs. Spices. He travels the Far East. He smells, tastes, and sees things he's never seen before. He collects these and he brings them back to Persia for his dad. I'm sure the story has many variations, but this is as I understand it. The second one was gold to look for an army. So he goes out looking for who he could conquest, but along the way he meets men that he likes and they become friends. So he goes out searching for an army. And instead, he collects a group of people that become very close friends. The third one goes out to search for a wife. But along the way, he spends a significant amount of time being alone. And he finds inner peace. All three go back to their father, who is the Prince of Serendip, the King of Serendip. And they tell him about their good fortune. And this is why the word serendipity means what you discover, a beneficial thing you discover along the way of looking for something else. And they understood their father's lesson. So good fortune and good luck very often is simply a matter of keeping your eyes open. And it's very hard. Lucky people tend to be more relaxed and open and therefore see what is there rather than what they're just looking for. There seem to be four principles of good fortune. And here's what they kind of, the bottom line of it. If you want good luck, two questions we know. Depression kind of masks the opportunity because in depression, you're kind of single-focused or you're not looking at all. You know, you're like a horse with blinders. So somehow you've got to tune into your gut instinct. Sometimes you've got to look and see what your instincts are telling you. So that's item one. Item two, be open to new experience and breaking your normal routine. Get ready to break that normal routine. Now, if you're somebody who always lives by the gut and you're a gut gambler and you lose that way, we're not talking about you. If you're somebody who is always open to new experience and breaks every routine they ever had, we're not talking to you. I'm not advocating to people who can't hold down a regular job to just keep going out, you know, doing more of what they're doing. But for the people who get stuck in the world of normalcy, in order to have good fortune, you've got to be able to be open to new experience. Now, This is a very tough one. You've got to spend a few minutes each day remembering the things that went well. This is a very interesting exercise in the brain. This actually builds up some of the brain. You have to find different ways, and you have to think and create memory pathways of positive experiences. What went well for you today so far? Think about that. What went well? I flew in last night. I came into New York. Oh, it must have been 2 o'clock in the morning. I flew and I landed. Everything worked. Everything. I was able to get my luggage. I was able to get transportation. I was able to come right into the city. And I was amazed. So I thought about it and thought about it. And I said, what good fortune. Good fortune that everything kind of happened. And then just as I'm about to get to my door, a garbage truck is in front of me at the beginning of a block and delays me for a half hour. So now here comes this thing. What am I thinking to myself? Am I going to focus on the garbage truck or focus on the good trip? Am I going to say, oh, the garbage truck was delaying me, knocked out my good fortune? No. No. Time to meditate. Time to slow down. Part of the welcoming committee in New York City. Visualize yourself being lucky before an important meeting or a telephone call. Luck is frequently a self-fulfilling prophecy. People who walk around and say, imagine if you go and you want to meet somebody for the first time, and you want to meet a friend or your date or something like that. If you walk into the room with the attitude, I'll never meet anybody, I can't meet anybody, you're going to be so dour and sour that no one's going to want to talk to you. And the one who does want to talk to you probably needs help anyway. So try to visualize yourself as being the fortunate one, if at all possible. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to be taking some of your calls, and then later we're going to bring you more information about good fortune and good luck from our research. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Armand. It's nice to hear your voice again. I've been missing your show because of work, but it's great to hear you.
Great.
And your show is fascinating me because I have sensed since I'm a little child, which I'm sure many people can relate to, a knowingness of being very lucky.
You are lucky.
Yes. I'm an extremely lucky girl, and I sometimes get a little confused. I say to myself, you know, like, I guess I wonder if it's because of my optimistic personality or just because I'm just surrounded with such wonderful, loving family and friends or all of the above, obviously. But I am truly a blessed girl in so many ways.
Well, okay, so then your daddy really loved you and you loved your daddy. This we know for sure, don't we?
Well, we didn't have a close relationship. My dad was never really shown very much love as a boy, so he had a really difficult time expressing that to his children, especially because we were all girls and it was a generation difference. Well, not just generation, but cultural as well, he being from an Italian background. So I know that he loved me, but no, he didn't know how to show it very much.
Okay, so how do you know that he loved you as a kid? How did you know it?
It's that knowingness again, that deep sense that we're born with, that as we get older, we sometimes lose a little bit of contact with, but deep down inside, we just feel it.
So feeling fortunate and feeling blessed right from early childhood, even though you've got a dad that's alienated from you, you get this feeling, well, you know, I'm loved. And you had how many sisters? 5?
I had 2 sisters, and I had a grandmother and aunts and uncles and cousins that loved me. So I always felt, but I also felt different, Armand, and very strange, hard to really express myself to you right now, but I felt very, very different, and I don't mean that I was different in an odd way. I really felt like I was special, like I had special powers.
And in these special powers, did you have powers to heal?
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
I hear you're a little embarrassed to talk about it, and I'm not going to mock you or make any fun of you, so please tell me as much about it as you can. Did you feel that there were times that there were things that were necessary? Like, did you ever heal a wounded bird or a wounded animal?
I think I felt more like people that were strangers to me, I could heal their hearts and love them. You know, I mean, I loved my parents and my mom and my grandmother and my sisters as much as I could. But I also felt like for people that were just in need, like in very small ways, I can heal their hearts and their pain.
Do you still do that nowadays?
I try every chance I get, you know, every opportunity I get, I try to do that.
Give me an example of how that might manifest if you were on a subway.
Just a gentle smile, allowing myself to be approachable, sending out a silent blessing, maybe saying a prayer for them. You know, I'm looking into their eyes and making them feel like, you know, they're not alone. Just a kind of one of my favorite movies is K-Pax, because I think that we have powers beyond what we're really capable of understanding on an intellectual level at this time in life, you know?
And recognizing this gift and generating it, it seems to be what you do, is you kind of perpetuate it by generating it. You believe you put it out, and it comes back to you, and you put it out, and it comes back to you. And so it kind of feeds you, and you're in this world of positive energy.
Yes. It's very, very magical. And like everyone, I have my days that aren't always full of magic, you know? But again, I allow myself to be in that space if need be, and then, you know, the first chance I get, I say my blessings and my prayers, and I tend to snap out of it, you know.
Buona fortuna, huh?
Grazie.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. What's your name?
Lucia. We've met before, Armand.
Lucia, it is you. I thought I recognized you. How nice to hear from you.
Same here, Armand. I hope your holidays were blessed.
Great, I'll see you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye, Lucia.
Bye.
Truly everything she says. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hello, Armand. Richard. Richard speaking.
Hello, Richard.
Fine, how are you, sir? Happy New Year.
Same to you.
I listen to you all the time, Armand, and I recommend everybody to listen to you.
Thank you, Richard.
Now, listen, how about people that are born retarded, or they have parents that were sugar diabetes, they're losing their eyesight? What would you call that? How would you classify that?
Well, you know, in a lot of the draw, that really, I mean, when you consider, you know, that there is a kind of a lottery out there, sometimes it's misfortune. And sometimes it's misfortune, and yet I have seen people with parents who are severely disabled who were equally loving. You know, it's like the whole thing kind of works together. Sure, it's unfortunate. Sure, there's good fortune as to what you're born into. But then there comes this other part of it that seems to be your ability to deal with it. There seems to be a will that comes up for people to deal with whatever misfortune that they get surrounded with. So I think, yes, I think a lot of people I know who grow up and deprived or starved or beaten, it's really unfortunate, and I think it is bad luck.
It is bad luck, right?
Yeah, I think it's bad luck. But, you know, it's bad luck.
I mean, look at Andre Bocelli. He lost his eyesight. After seeing, he loses it around 12 years old. Look at it. You talk about bad luck.
Sure.
That's bad luck.
And therefore. Yep, and I thank you very much. Richard, nice to hear your voice. We got to take a short station break. Nice to hear you. Hey, we're going to take a short station break, and when we come back, a little special music, and we'll be back with you on your phone calls.
Yo, this is Michael Franti from Spirit, and you're listening to non-commercial radio in New York. WBAI is the place to turn to.
Peace. Oh my God, and my mother got a sleeping suicide singing. Oh my God, and my mother got a sleeping genocide singing. Oh my my God. And then my mother got us living suicides. Oh my, oh my God, oh my God.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
Sorry for that, my friends. It was sent to me from overseas, and I thought I could get through the whole thing, but it just so happens on second-generation CDs. That was Spockanopoly. Yes, Spockanopoly. And you can look it up, S-P-A-C-C-A-N-O-P-N-A-P-O-L-I, Spockanopoly. And this is Armand DeMille with you with the shocking positive mind. Meant to bring you ideas, concepts, and guests. It's unlucky that the CD went out at that moment. Unlucky. Luck of the draw, right? Is having a positive attitude automatically the way to have good luck? Well, let's think about it. If you got a positive attitude versus a negative attitude, if you have a positive attitude, then you're out there more than people who have a negative attitude. Your head's up as opposed to your head's down. If your head's down, you don't see as much. There's not as much opportunity. When your head's down and you're bent over, it's easy to get hit by a falling brick because you don't see it happening. If your head's up, you see a brick falling, you step out of the way. So who has more misfortune and who has more good fortune? Good fortune could also mean, but it could also mean that a person who is too positively minded, and I call those the pathologically positive, the PPs, people who are virtually manic, who are just so positive all the time, well, they don't see anything. They're moving so fast they couldn't see anything happening to them. They're ducking across the street. They will get hit by a car because 1 out of 1,000 cars eventually going to hit them because they're just dashing through traffic, whereas other people won't dash through traffic. So positive attitude itself lends in the direction of more good things happening to you because you're more available for them to happen. Negative attitude, which is not a judgment. I mean, just negative way of being, negative being, not a way of being, just the way you feel. If you're a downer kind of person, if you're depressed, again, which is not a judgment. If you're ill, if you're, you know, if you're disabled in some way, if you have all these challenges, whatever it is going to work against your good fortune. Now, opportunity tends to present itself more to people who look a certain way than it does to people who look another way. Positive attitude and generally symmetrical people, being generally symmetrical because people are attracted to and trust people who are symmetrical as opposed to asymmetrical, meaning, you know, that's what a pretty person is. A person is pretty when blessed, when they have two sides of their face look alike. You know, they consider that symmetrical, and that's a nice thing. And if people like looking at you, they tend to offer you more things than if they don't like looking at you. Now, mind you, does that mean that beauty always wins and gives good fortune? No, beauty can attract some terrible misfortune. You can be so innocent and screwed over because you're innocent. However, there is something about how on the attractiveness scale, people who are attractive tend to get more good opportunities than people who are not attractive. In fact, the Yavis syndrome wins. Yavis, young, attractive, verbal, intelligent, and successful. Young, attractive, verbal, intelligent, and successful. If you got all of those working for you or in good fortune, people tend to be attracted to you more. But that doesn't mean you have to be to have good fortune. I mean, think of some of the people out there who have made fortunes and have had good luck. Look at the guy from the Subway ad, right? I know because one of my dear friends went to school with him. Who was this guy who was very heavy, who lost a lot of weight because he ate Subway things, and he's become this rich, famous, wealthy guy. Or how about Famous Amos? How about guys who just kind of, you know, hit into an opportunity, and the opportunity worked, and their attitude kind of carried them further with it. And then there are people I know who try to take advantage of it, and they'll buy a Starbucks concession and lose money on it. Because they get too worried and too concerned. You have to have a certain looseness to allow for serendipity and to allow for good fortune. 212-209-2900. We're going to be also talking about lucky and love. Boy, love is a tough one. You know, I don't even know if luck should apply. I think it's all skill. I really do. I think the older you get, the more skilled you get at choosing and seeing. And not just feeding your needs blindly, which is what happens to many people, you know. They're looking and, you know, they don't understand themselves enough, and they will fall in love with person after person after person just so that they cannot see themselves. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm on?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Yui.
Hello, it's, Yui.
I said, it's funny how you brought this subject up because yesterday I just started reading a book called Blink, and the subtitle is The Power of Thinking Without Thinking. And in the book, it goes through, there was someone had did a I don't know what you call it, but they had did a study, I say, and they were, they said that the ones who gamble, when they did this study where they had four deck of cards and two decks were red, the top, and two decks were blue. And in the cards, the ones who were red, the cards that were red had more of a risk value attached to them, where if you pick the card, you would lose more or you would either gain more. And in the blue cards, it was set up to where you would gain steadily, gradually, as you pick the cards. And it said that most people who, when they picked through the cards, they figured out that the blue cards were more beneficial after picking, say, like 80 cards. But the ones who, the minds that were more apt to gambling, would figure it out. They noticed they would figure it out maybe after, like, picking 10 cards or so, but they didn't consciously think of it. It's just that their pattern of picking the cards began to change after picking the 10th card. And, you know, I myself am a person that I don't believe in luck. I believe that, you know, luck comes to those who are prepared. Because you can have good fortune come to you, but if you're not prepared to take advantage of it, then you wind up losing out in the end. But it just goes, it just, to me, seems that, well, actually this book speaks about how there's a certain intuitiveness that most people have, and some are in tune to it and some are not.
I thank you for that, Yuri.
The benefit of what you call luck.
I thank you for that. In fact, I think I'm going to have that author on. I've seen the book Blink. I've looked through it. I think it's good. Let's make a note to get in touch with the author. What's the author's name?
Malcolm Gladwell.
Gladwell.
It seems it's not exactly the subject that you're dealing with, but
No, I know what you're talking about, and I am going to get in touch with him, and I thank you very much. Thank you for calling in, Yui. You know, now I know another man who drove a car. Listen to this. And he got two speeding tickets when speeding, and his both speeding tickets were when he was going as fast as everybody else, about 65, 68 miles an hour, in a 55 to 65 mile zone. Sometimes he went 70 miles an hour. But when I spoke to a policeman once and I asked him, I said, well, why would this guy be getting so many tickets and the other guys don't? And he said, because he had a red car. And we focus on red cars. That we know that the person who's driving a red car is more likely to be a speeder than the person who is driving another car. So red cars get more speeding tickets than any other cars. Isn't that funny? Because the police look at them and say, ah, red car, a gambler. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille here. Let's take another call. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, Armand. I just wanted to know briefly the four ingredients to bringing good luck into one's life was tune into gut instincts, be open to new experiences, and visualize being lucky. What's the fourth one? I missed the fourth one.
Ah, let's see if we're lucky enough to find it. The fourth one was...
Or maybe it was in a number, different number sequence, but whatever it was.
The four, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. The fourth one we have to find again. 1, 2, lucky.
Could have been a third one when you mentioned it, but I only have three here.
Well, let me see. Which ones do you have?
I have tune into gut instincts.
Yeah.
Be open to new experiences.
Yeah.
Visualize being lucky.
Oh, yeah, and remembering each day things that go well.
Okay.
It's a very important thing. That's not just visualizing that. It's training your mind to see the positive.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Sure. And, in fact, I'll take that a step further. Yeah. If in romance, I think it's a similar thing, but there's a problem with it in romance. Mm-hmm. In romance, try to spend some time every day reviewing everything you see and try to see everything about the person who you're getting involved with and see it as registering information, not just judging it as good or bad.
Okay.
Being willing to. How are you in your relationships?
Not that good.
Yeah. What's the problem?
It's rather involved. I don't want to go into it now.
Oh, come on. Come on. Take a chance. Of all good things. Maybe you'll have some good fortune. What's going on that's so tough? I heard it in your voice.
Oh, boy. I'd rather not go into it.
Ah, come on.
Armand, you're really persuasive.
Nobody knows you. You know what I mean? And they're not listening.
Oh, yes. There are people who listen to the show that know me. But anyway.
They know you really well. How about a general guideline as to the kind of things that go wrong in a lot of relationships that some people feel helpless about?
Well, the experience when that you did speak about over the air about, you go to an event and you'd like to meet someone, and then you feel a little nervous about it, and you feel kind of apprehensive, and you wind up leaving there and not meeting anyone just because of what you said.
Isn't that something? So there's kind of a shyness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A shyness that you feel like an inhibition, like it almost
exactly.
They wouldn't want to meet me.
You just look too anxious and too eager.
Well, how about this? How about the fact that you might become made a fool of by them turning you down? Do you ever get concerned
Absolutely.
About that?
Absolutely. Fear of rejection, sure.
Well, I want to go a little further than fear of rejection. Because I think I've got something for you that would be real valuable, which would be very lucky for you today. If it's very specifically, I'm afraid to say something because I'm afraid I will look ridiculous in front of other people. I am afraid that somehow the person will humiliate me. Now, that's a very important feeling. If that's the specific feeling behind the shyness, is it that kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah, that is that's called social phobia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Now, social phobia is very specific. Let me ask you something. As a kid, when you went to school, mm-hmm. little kid, when you went to school, do you remember how you felt about school?
I had some school fear, school phobia.
Yeah, phobia usually leads to social phobia. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So how lucky for you that you can identify what it is. But now, see, dealing with social phobia is different than just feeling like you're totally inadequate. Because if you feel totally inadequate, that's one thing. But if you're afraid of humiliation and you've got a social phobia, there's a lot of things you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of things. One of the simplest things that is not simple because it sounds so panicky, believe it or not, is Toastmasters. Do you know about that?
Toastmasters. No. What is that?
Oh, I'm so glad you're asking the question. Good. Toastmasters is an organization that teaches people to speak, to do public speaking.
Oh, okay.
And they do it in groups, and it's all people who are afraid to speak publicly because they're afraid they would embarrass themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine if you have a whole group of people doing that. Certainly nobody's going to laugh at anybody and nobody's going to humiliate anybody. And they support each other in a tremendous way. And I've known people who have gone through Toastmasters, and it's been amazing. They've just been able to come through it. And then I want to use as one more example the remarkable Roberta Maria Atta.
Oh, yes.
Who stuttered as a child and
still to this day
stutters on radio, and was so humiliated for her stuttering that when I found her brilliance was hiding behind the stuttering and she started speaking, it was kind of amazing how she got through it. And right now she's traveling through Italy and, you know, become a public speaker just again, you know, with having the same kind of thing happen.
Yes, love to hear her when she's on with you. Armand, where's Toastmasters? Are they in Manhattan?
I think, look on the internet. They're all over the world.
Okay, I'm going to look into that. Once again, the number fourth item was remembering the good things that happened.
The good things that happened today, like today.
Yes, speaking to you.
Yes, that's it. Your experience today with me can not only be remembered, but listen to this. What you could do is you could go to the internet. I don't know if you do that.
Yes, yes.
You could download today's program, mm-hmm. and you can have a recording of you and me talking.
Really? That's great. Wow.
Isn't that great? And you'll have it there, and it'll be your conversation. You'll play it any time you want. You could loop it, and this mm-hmm. is all we do because you're a wonderful man to talk to. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your courage.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Armand, and thank you for your show.
Thank you. Bye-bye. He did all four steps. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're going to take a call with you in a moment, but Seneca. You know who Seneca was, the Roman dramatist? He said, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Meaning when you're set up for it, when you're ready for it to happen, and the opportunity comes there. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. It's funny that you should have this topic today because I was just telling my husband that, well, we've been having a difficult time lately, but I've been telling him that I have terrible luck. All of my life I've had terrible luck, and I've been telling him that, you know, any person that I've ever dealt with in a relationship, it's like they struggle so hard, and then after we separate, things seem to just pick up for them, and whatever that could have happened in terms of work or whatever good thing that would affect us in a positive way, it happens when we separate. And I don't know if it's me and negativity, and I also said that a lot of it came from my childhood because I had such, I guess, bad luck. I'd always say that. So he's telling me no, that that's not the case, that's not true. That basically, you have to be prepared. And I kind of prepared, but not, but I strongly believe that I do have bad luck and that I have such average abilities that I couldn't do better. So I don't know if I'd be open because I was listening to your 4 points. If maybe I try that, then maybe I can see otherwise.
You know, you are such a loving person. How much love can a person like you have for her mate that you would be willing to tell your mate, honey, our bad luck is my fault. Please leave me because you'll be better off without me. And you don't want to lose him, but you are thinking, you feel yourself like you're some kind of pariah, you know, that you're the problem, and that he should leave you so that he could go off and be better off without you. What a loving thing to do. What a terrifically loving thing to do. What a general self-sacrificing part of you that is. It's really beautiful. I mean, it's great to hear on one level. On another level, what I hear is that you have been depressed all of your life. And by depressed, I mean there's been a cloud hanging over you that's prevented everything good from happening to you because life has been rough right from the start.
And that's exactly, I mean, the words that you just said, I was just looking over a diary that I had written. I stopped writing in it because I just got tired of writing so many negative things. So I had it on the train with me yesterday when I was traveling home, and I wrote exactly what you just said. And I just didn't know how to, I don't know how to fix it. And I have, you know, the depression part. I realized some months ago, like 7 or 8 months, that I have been depressed all of my life. And I just don't know how to get from under it. So this is what leads me to tell my husband, you know, you need to get out before, you know, you get a, you know, before, well, it gets, before I suck you, have the life out of you.
How about some counseling for the depression?
Well, I went two or three times, and then she went on vacation, and I just didn't go back because I said I had decided to go to school, so at least that I had gotten out of the bed and things of that nature. So, you know, trying to move towards something. So I figured that was, you know, something positive out of it. But in truth, I still feel a lot of, you know, anxiety.
Sure. No, I hear. So you should consult with somebody. You know, you should consult with somebody, and there are enough people who know how to treat depression well. I certainly know a lot of people. Feel free to call my office, and I'll find you somebody, no matter what your financial range is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, how could I go about taking care of it? I mean, today is a great day to find out.
Call my office, and I'll talk to you, 212-757, or I'll have one of my associates find you something, 212-757-4488. Because today is a great day. Now, here's the other thing you've got to do. You got to take last year's diary. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
You have a diary from last year?
Yes, I do.
You got to throw it in the river.
Wow. I can do that.
You sure can. Throw it in the river. Feed it to the fishes. And if you do that, start a new diary. And in this diary, write just for a period of time. all the wonderful, incredible things that happened today, or even I saw a bird flying, anything positive you could think of, and make a journal of only the positive. Do not qualify. Retrain your brain.
Thank you. And can I please have that number once again?
212-757-4488.
Thank you so much, Armand.
Sure. What's your name?
Katrina.
Katrina?
Yes.
I'll be speaking to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. There are a lot of facilities around that offer services that are inexpensive. When you really feel like you need the help, you can find it, you know? Hey, we'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friend. Special thanks. The website is thepositivemind.com. Thank you.